Our guest in the second hour of today's program, Tom Utes. Tom is a songwriter, singer, has a brand new album entitled Crazy If You Let It. I first became acquainted with Tom Utes in January of 2017. I did an interview with Mac Wiseman. Mac had just released a brand new album on Mountain Fever. I sang the song Life of the Voice with a Heart. And the interview combined Mac with Tom Utes, because Tom had written many of the songs on that album, and they're really, really fascinating songs. They were able to take parts of Mac's life story and make them into a song with great guests throughout the album. By the way, the interview happened here on Unreal Bluegrass before the actual release date of January 20th, 2017, by about 2 weeks. Both parts of that interview with the legend Mac Wiseman and Tom Utes are on the Unreal Bluegrass website if you want to go back and visit them. But now we get to talk to Tom Utes. He has his own album out, and caught up with Tom in Raleigh, North Carolina in September 2017. And I think you're going to enjoy it. Tom has a really interesting way of discussing things that inspire him and how his process works, and you're going to be amazed at all the music that Tom Utes has been involved in, and you're going to be happy that you get a chance to listen to him speak. I'm welcoming back to Unreal Bluegrass Tom Utes. Tom, we talked earlier in the year on phone, and I get to talk to you in your present company. I talked to you earlier about an album you did with Mac Wiseman, and now I'm talking, and I have in my hand here an album that I'm crazy about the songs. You are such a good songwriter.
Thank you.
It's called Crazy If You Let It, and Tom, welcome back.
Good to be here. Good to see you, Steve. Good to finally meet you.
Yes,
to talk on the phone.
We promised to meet, and now we're meeting. We may meet again before this is over.
I sure hope so, because we have some business to do.
Yes, we do. So we've talked before we went on the air quite a bit, and I've listened to all of this several times. The tunes that I remember almost right away, looking at the list here, I dropped right down to number 12. It was you. And when I listen to a song like that, I wonder how it hasn't been, someone hasn't approached you. Maybe they have. And it would translate so well into a really nice, I would say just a country song.
Right.
I mean, you do bluegrass, and a lot of stuff is bluegrass related. But
right.
That's such a beautiful song, and it would be such a nice ballad for even today's country radio.
Well, thank you. I actually hadn't thought about it like that, but that's a good point. I have to try to pitch that song.
Yeah.
I've wrote it with my friend Irene Kelly. And
I love Irene.
Remember the day we wrote it? It came really easy, and yeah, you know, it's not like people don't approach us much for songs. You really have to chase them down, and
oh,
you have to catch them at the right moment and go, okay, are you looking for songs? When are you going in the studio? Typically, it's best if you catch them right before they go in, and they're still looking for certain things, and then you can, you know, and you can slide one in once in a while.
And Tom, I don't mean to suggest this as a sampler of Tom's songs. It's a beautiful song as is. I'm just thinking it's such a gorgeous, to me, and Confederate Jasmine on here, too, are such rich stories.
Thank you.
And I said this off the air, your lyrics are just really powerful.
Thank you.
And I love the stuff that you did with Mac and the story of Mac Wiseman, that you were able to turn those into songs.
Mm-hmm.
But the lyrics really are fairly powerful, I think, when I listen to them.
Well, thank you. I mean, you know, it's stories are out there. You just have to, anybody can find them, and then what you do with it, that's up to you. Like Confederate Jasmine, my friend Jefferson Ross that I wrote that with brought that idea. He has a Confederate Jasmine actually is a plant, and so it's a type of jasmine, and he has a Confederate Jasmine in his backyard in Atlanta, and Confederate Jasmine only blooms for a day and then it's done. And so, So he told me this, and he said, "Man, I have this idea about a song called Confederate Jasmine, and I want it to be about a hooker in the Civil War." And Jefferson had lived in Savannah, Georgia, for a while, and we had been there together, and we were both big fans of that part of the world. And so we just we talked about it on a Saturday night, and then we drank a couple of glasses of wine too many, and we're not so eager to get up the next day to write a song, but we kind of shamed each other into getting up early that Sunday morning, and we wrote that song, and it came really quick, and it's a long song. It's almost 5 minutes long.
Yes.
And it tells the story of this prostitute in the Civil War who gets infected with a disease from her soldier who's just been on the march to the sea.
Yeah.
And I just love the imagery of this stuff. I love American history, and I love how I think that's a parallel between bluegrass music and American history. You know, both are there's nothing dead about this. It's all very much alive. American history, you can put your hand on and you can still feel, you know, 1861 is not a long time ago.
Yeah.
And this story takes place in 1864 when Sherman rides into Savannah and he decides not to destroy it and give the city as a Christmas present to Abraham Lincoln.
Are you a fan of the Civil War?
I made 3 records about the Civil War that I have to send you.
Well, there's a song on Chris Jones' last album, The Bell.
I wrote it.
Yeah, and I know that. And that, to me, it has to be based on some real thing or something.
It is. Yeah, the Old Bell is based on Beauregard. Gustave Toutant Beauregard, who was a Confederate general. When the Civil War was coming to an end and when it was really getting dire in the South, he put out the word that plantation owners should hand in their the bells that were on the that they had on the plantations, or that churches should hand in their bells because there was such a shortage of steel in the South, because obviously all the steel was manufactured in the North. So again, that was just a little thing that I read in Shelby Foote's trilogy about the American Civil War, and I just talked about it and came up with this idea. Let's write a song about it. When two boys are watching people take down a bell from a bell tower, and then put it on a boat, and they send it up to Memphis, where the foundry was. And that's simple. It all starts with a real simple story or with an image. And then you just have to use your imagination. And, you know, you don't have to be like the Civil War records that I made. They're not history lessons. They're not necessarily always super accurate. And there's a lot of stuff that's just, you know, stuff that I dreamed up, you know.
Yeah.
But, so, that's just what it is.
And you write songs that are, I mean, every song's a story, but I feel like you put a lot into the story element of the song. That it maybe helps you write it. Is that something that you try to do, or just comes to you that way?
It comes to me that way, I think. I think, you know, I don't want to write a lot of songs about myself, and I can't write songs about heartbreak, because I've been with the same woman since I was 15 years old, and she was 14, and we were still very happy, so I can't write heartbreak songs, because I don't really know what it feels like. Or lost love, at least, or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, there's enough of that stuff out there. And I think it's more important to write about stuff. To me, it's more important to write about stuff that actually happened or could have happened.
Or has a kernel of, and then you embellish
and
write a song around it. And I think you do that so well. You were mentioning right before we went on the air about Whitewater Train is going to be. Are there singles that have been released? I think I got one of your singles before the album came in.
Yeah, Crazy If You Let It was the first single.
Yes.
It's a song that I wrote with Andre Azan
and
Bill Lloyd.
I've played that several times.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And the second single is going to be a song called Crossing Over Black Mountain that I wrote with my friend Marlon Miller.
Okay, then I remembered incorrectly, because I feel like that's the one that's just the most absolutely bluegrass out of the box.
Yeah.
Is that a fair statement?
Oh, absolutely.
When I say I don't want to make it sound like a sampler of Tom Oates songs, I also don't want to let people know. I also want to let people know that these are all bluegrassy type tunes, but
sure.
That to me, if I had to say that one is instantly recognizable.
Yeah,
that's the one.
That's his. You know, that's a simple hard driving 3-chord bluegrass song. Justin Moses is playing a great banjo on it, and Sarah Hall is playing mandolin on the whole record. Mark Fain plays bass, and Justin plays banjo, fiddle, and dobro. And Andrea's playing fiddle on a couple of things, and Tammy Rogers of the Steel Drivers is singing and playing on some stuff. It's definitely a bluegrass record, but it leans heavily on the song end of things. But Crossing Over Black Mountain is Mylon and I try to write songs, sometimes just as an exercise, not as an exercise, but we make a point sometimes to try to write songs that we think could be 80 years old. So you have to use totally different.
Good. That's good. I'm glad you said that, because I sent there's a. Okay, perfect. That's perfect. I don't need to say anything more about that. I get it. I get exactly what you're saying when I listen to your music.
It's just, you know, you have to use different language.
Yes.
You have to be consistent in the use of the language.
That's what you do, Tom. That it's not just the only thing that you do. When you mentioned it, it finally started occurring to me that you have an older style to the... Yeah, all right.
You know, one of my favorite songwriters is Norman Blake, and I think he's so phenomenal at anything that... Whenever Norman Blake writes about a train, it just drives me nuts because it's so good. You know,
yeah.
Because he loves that history, because he studies that, and he knows the terminology and all that, and he writes consistently within that... time frame, if you want to call it that. That's another thing that's so endearing about working and being friends with Mac Wiseman, Mac speaks differently than people speak today.
Yes, he does.
You know, he uses phrases and words that are typical to where he's from. And, for instance, that one the one line in that song, Barefoot Till After the Frost, he's just as red as a gobbler's nut. That's actually a typical Virginia folks name. Mm-hmm. That we looked that up because we wanted to know, did you just make this up on the spot or had you heard that before? That's actually a Virginia folks name. But I'm interested in all that stuff. You know, I'm in, like I said, interested in history. I'm very interested in literature and Southern literature. So all of that hopefully finds its way into my song.
It does, and I'm looking down here at Sometimes What Glitters Is Gold, another one of my favorite beautiful song.
Wrote it with Peter Cooper and Justin Moses.
And now you've mentioned Justin and Sierra. I mean, they were on. Of course, Peter, you helped write a lot of the songs on the Mac Wiseman.
Yeah, all of them.
So, but are you picking up from that project, the Mac Wiseman? Have you picked up a familiarity with more musicians? Are you pulling them back in for like this? Is this your first recorded project?
I've never really did anything that was released to radio and all that. I made records that I sold at gigs and stuff. And, you know, it's simply because I'm number one a producer, number two a songwriter, a guitar player, but I'm not out here to compete with people who are working the festival circuit and who are, you know, who grew up in this tradition. I'm a part of that now, I hope, through my writing.
Yeah.
But I don't, my main interest is not to go out there and play gigs.
Okay.
And my main interest is to be a songwriter and a producer. So that makes it a little different, my approach a little differently. I was good friends with the people who played on the Mac record and on my record before.
Okay.
I mean, I've known those guys for a long time, and they're some of my favorite people that I'll have them play on whatever I'm working on whenever I can.
Okay.
And Sarah and Justin are some of my dear, two of my dearest friends, and so is Mark Fain and Andrea as well.
Yeah, okay, good. All right, that helps me make sense out of the people on this with you. Because you've been writing songs for a long time. A lot of people have recorded your songs.
Yeah, I've been writing songs for a long time. I've had a couple of really good years in bluegrass, and you know, it's great thrill to hear people as great as Junior Sis sing your song, or Terry Baucom with his great new band, with Joe Lemon singing, who's one of my favorite voices in bluegrass at the moment. It's great fun. Life is really great. I mean, if you're not having fun when you're making music,
you're doing something wrong. You should be having fun.
Yeah.
Tom, this is a really good Crazy If You Let It. It's on Mountain Fever. And I know now that I've probably driven around and listened to it several. Sometimes I click back Confederate Jasmine. I don't know what in my mind why I go back. That's a gorgeous story.
Thank you.
And now that I had not connected that the Jasmine blooms and dies, but it's kind of about this girl blooming in, and then she's
in a sense it's also about the Confederacy. Not that there is anything to celebrate about that,
right,
but
no.
It's just something that was a short-lived idea.
Yeah.
It turned out historically that it was.
Yeah, the road to Galway I know is an older. Melody that you put some.
Yeah, it's a fun story. When I was 18 years old and just had graduated from high school, I grew up in Germany. My wife and I took a trip went on a trip to Ireland and just hitchhiked and took trains. And I still am and was at the time a fan of traditional Irish music. And I had a record as a kid that was called Irish Folk Festival, and there was a whistle player on there called Michael Russell. And I knew from the liner notes from that record where he lived. It's a town called Doolin in County Clare, which is sort of a hotbed for traditional Irish music. So I went there, and I went to the pub where I had read that he would hang out a lot, and he was actually there. And I told him that I was a big fan, and he said, well, I don't know, I'll show you a tune. And he showed me this tune called The Road to Galway. And I still remember that, and that's 30 years ago. And I never could do anything with that tune till one day I was riding with Andre Azan, and I said, I keep thinking about this song, this tune, this fiddle tune, The Road to Galway, that this old whistle player showed me. And I showed it to her, and she played it on the fiddle, and then we went like, well, let's just write a song about The Road to Galway. And it's, you know, The Road to Galway again becomes a metaphor for, I want to sit around and be sad if you could be traveling on the road to Galway. And, you know, Ireland is such a joyful country with all the sadness in the history. It's a place that I toured a lot when I played with Nancy Griffiths, and I always enjoy going back. And
did you play with Nancy Griffiths?
Played with her for 5 years and played, produced a record for her, wrote.
What record did you play?
It's called The Loving Kind.
I have everything she's ever recorded.
Yeah, she's, it was an incredible
opportunity. I've seen her three or four times. I may have seen you.
It was an incredible opportunity to play with her. Last of the True Believers is one of the finest records that was ever made.
Yeah.
And an incredible writer, incredible presence on stage, and wonderful guitar player. And it was a great education to play with her for 5 years.
That's interesting. I would not have... I'm glad you mentioned that. Just gives me another thing to think about on your experience. You've done a lot of that. I imagine you've done a lot of that kind of touring and writing for different people.
I did. I mean, with Nancy, it was full on touring. We were everywhere. We went to Europe every year. We went to Australia. We were all over the U.S. We played in Canada. Before that, I toured with a songwriter called Mary Gaucher. That was a lot of. And that's an interesting life, and it's good to do that. It was a great education. But if you want to write a lot and if you want to produce, you have to almost not tour. You can't tour that much because it's a constant coming and going. You don't have time to focus on something and sit down and write.
Do you write best in your home?
Yes, I write best in certain places. There's other, like with Tammy Rogers, we always write at her place, and I think we write best at her place.
Okay.
With Andrea, we write in her kitchen, and I think we write best when we're there. And it's funny, it's always like the first, to me it seems like it's always the first place that
you actually wrote a song with.
Yeah, that's where you want to go back to.
That's interesting.
And actually, it was also interesting, people tend to sit in the same spot that they sat in the first time.
That is interesting. Oh, whatever makes you get back in that mode where you hit the magic before.
Totally. It's wonderful, you know. It's best, like Tammy and I have been writing a lot over the last year, and it's always been easy. But over the last couple of months, we both realized that it's so familiar now. It just flows. You know, we get together and within 45 minutes we have something that we're really happy.
I'm such a fan of hers.
I am too. What a talented person. No, intelligent, smart, eloquent.
I love her stage presence.
And I
love how she fits in that band.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a band without her. I'll say that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think so.
You're not the first person I've said it to, but I think she's as much as a part of that as any other sound that comes to it.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And I think she's so supportive of it.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And a great writer, contributes to all the records.
Yes, cool. Tom, man, I'm so glad I got to meet you finally.
Well, likewise.
We were planning on doing this for forever and just happened to be at this venue and this opportunity. So
I can't thank you enough for doing that, man.
Crazy if you let it on Mountain Fever, Tom Utz. I just am crazy about all these songs. And I would ask people to listen and recognize that not only they're good songs, good melodies, but please, as they're listening to this, Tom, I want people to listen to the words.
Well, I did too.
I think the words are just the stories and the words and the rhyming and some of these things are just... you're a poet.
I don't think of myself as a poet.
You may not think that way, but in your songs, you're these could be standalone poems.
Good.
I mean it in a good way. I'm not saying
you
don't write great melodies.
I'm just saying
that they come across that way to
me.
That's
good.
That's a good thing.
I think it needs to read well. If it doesn't read well, it needs to sound well.
Yes.
My friend Pat Elcher says it needs to trickle off the tongue. And he should know because he wrote a lot of...
Nancy Griffith was a big Patrick Elcher fan.
He wrote a couple of things that she... Going Once, Going Twice, Going Gone.
Yes.
Only Once in a Very Blue Moon.
Oh,
he wrote that. And then he wrote some of the best stuff from the Garth Brooks catalog.
Yes.
He's a good friend. He just turned 70 and he's in a really good spot. He's got... This is amusing. It's humorous to me. The Thunder Rolls is right now number one on the hard rock chart because the hard rock band recorded it and it's incredible. It's really great. And it's a testament to what a great song it is that it can live in all of those worlds.
You know a lot of interesting, talented people, and I'm glad I could pick out some of the names every once in a while because it helps me understand a little more about you.
Oh, thank you.
Tom, thanks so much, man.
Thank you,
sir. I appreciate your time. All right.